For our Bethel service, Brother Brownie will read the resolve, Brother Paul Chambers the vow, Brother Ron Palmgren the manna, and Brother Dan Beard then will ask the prayer upon our day.
My morning resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord and all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I will pay my vows unto the Most High. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace, I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh and its interests, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will seek not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in great matters, but also in little things of life, trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare. I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I will neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may.
I vow unto the Lord. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body. Relying on the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember at the throne of heavenly grace the general interest of the harvest work, and particularly the share which I myself am privileged to enjoy in that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings to the intent that I may be the better enabled to serve thee and thy dear flock. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and remembering that there are but the two masters, I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary. I further vow that with the exceptions below, I will at all times and in all places conduct myself toward those of the opposite sex in private exactly as I would do with them in public in the presence of a congregation of the Lord's people. And so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the opposite sex alone unless the door to the room stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wife, children, mother, and natural sisters, in the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brothers.
October 6th, manna. You know not what manner of spirit ye are of. The Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9:55 and 56. So with all of the Lord's disciples, their continual study should be to avoid that hypercritical disposition to sentence and to destroy other people while desiring mercy for themselves. The rule which the Lord establishes is that we must accept from him mercy only in proportion as we shall exercise this grace towards others. The fault-finding disposition that is ready to accuse and condemn everybody indicates a wrong condition of heart, one which all the Lord's people should be on guard against. Mercy, goodness, love are the elements of character which he desires to see in his spiritual Israelites, and without which he cannot long continue. We cannot long continue to be his children. You know not what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9:55-56.
Our dear, most kind, most loving Father in heaven, hallowed be thy holy, thy precious name. We do come before thee at this time, dear Father, thankful for thy many rich and bountiful blessings so freely bestowed upon us, and to seek again thy continued presence and blessing upon us now as we are gathered here today in this convention. We ask that you will bless each heart and mind here in attendance and help them each to receive the blessing you have for them. We ask a blessing, too, upon the hearts and minds of those who are to serve from the platform today, that thou will bless their words, that they may be unctuous and blessed to all. And, dear Father, we pray for those dear ones who desire to be here today, that thou will be with them also and remember them in their experiences and extend a special blessing to them, as thou knowest each of their circumstances and the fact that they were unable to attend but desired to be here. May a special blessing be upon them. And, dear Father, we ask that thy continued guidance and care throughout the remainder of our walk. And we pray these things through Jesus, our dear and holy Redeemer, that be thy will.
Thank you, brethren. I don't know how much benefit we're getting from the PA system at this point. I'll try to get that resolved. So if those that are addressing you will keep their voices up, that will probably be helpful until we do. Well, it's my privilege and pleasure to welcome you to another Bellingham Little Northwest Fellowship Sunday. Like to continue this tradition, if you will, of having this last convention of the calendar year before winter sets in and we wait until spring when other conventions are, and we're encouraged that some few of us at least are still able to get together in this manner. Our theme text, Stand Ye in the Ways and See and Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. Jeremiah 6:16-17. It is our desire, as your brethren in Christ, to encourage you to hold fast to the truth, recognizing from whom we received it. Indeed, our present Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. And we also appreciate and hope that you likewise appreciate the servant chosen to deliver it to us as in a manner that we could understand it and be profited by its use. And we remind you of the text from Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Our theme text refers to the old paths, and that intimates just what the prophet goes on to say in Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, or rather seem to tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And so we have this year purposely invited to serve from this platform some of our brethren who have been long in the way, and we believe faithfully so, serving you. To emphasize the more fully the thought of these old pathways. Our theme hymn, hymn number 273, was understood to be Brother Russell's favorite, and so we have chosen that to as a fitting companion to our text. I'd like to refer you to a recent death. This is a worldly man. I read about this in our local paper, the Seattle Times. It's an article written by a syndicated columnist, Charles Krauthammer. It was just 2 weeks and 2 days ago that a man named Paul Erdos died at 83 years of age. He was born of Jewish parents on the very day that his two sisters, ages 3 and 5, died of scarlet fever. Thereafter, Hitler disposed of nearly all of the rest of his family. His obituary ended with a painful statement: he leaves no immediate survivors. He was a mathematician, and it is estimated that perhaps 50 new Erdos papers will yet be published by those with whom he was collaborating at the time of his death. Now, for a mathematician, a professional in any of these scientific fields, 50 papers would be an extraordinary work for a lifetime. But this man, while alive, published 1,500 papers. He had no home, no family, no possessions, no address. He went from math conference to math conference, from university to university, knocking on doors of others in his field who gladly received him and profited by the mathematical fellowship enjoyed for a few days before he moved on. He traveled with two suitcases, each half full. One held clothes, the other mathematical papers that he was working on. He was gentle, open, and generous with others. At most, he carried $30 at any one time. He didn't just share his genius. He had so little money because he gave away everything he earned. Why do I relate this story? Well, here was an honorable man who set himself upon an honorable pathway. He diligently pursued this path, sacrificing every human possession. I sort of relate to this story, particularly because as a young man in early high school, I excelled in mathematics. I placed actually first in the state of Ohio in my division in an algebra exam or proficiency test. And it was somewhat of a fantasy or dream of mine to discover some new mathematical truth or theorem or theory or whatever as a young person. However, I chose a different pathway, the same pathway that you have also chosen. This pathway also calls upon us to sacrifice every human possession and even the honor associated with those things that might be rightfully ours. Now, Paul Erdos did numbers for the pure joy of discovery and for sharing his understanding with others. Yet the rewards awaiting us for following our pathway is greater than our hearts and minds can even conceive. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Revelation 3, verse 21. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Beautiful words, delightful thoughts, but I don't think that we can really conceive totally what that experience will be. So how are we progressing on our pathway? Perhaps the question arises in your mind, am I as single-purposed as this mathematician was? We trust that this is your heart intention. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. There are today, and among the Bible student movement, many deviations from the old paths, and they are leading far afield, following after worldly wisdom and forsaking the food from the Master's table. However, in accordance with the words of our theme text, we admonish you to hearken to the sound of the trumpet. And we charge our speakers with the responsibility to blow that trumpet well. 1 Corinthians 14:7-9. Even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? So once again, we are happy to welcome you. We trust your day will be a blessed one, that you will be a blessing to one another, as well as receiving blessings from this platform and your fellowship. We're running a little ahead of schedule, so Brother Edward will have plenty of time to develop his subject for us. We'll have our opening hymn for Brother Edler Renz is hymn number 149, and I ask Brother David Faircombe to come forward and ask the Lord's blessing upon Brother Edward's service. Hymn 149.